Il-program li ser tisimaw huwa miġjub lilkom bix-xewqa tajba ta' Farsons Foundation.
This is Patricia Camilleri, welcoming you to University Matters on Campus FM. In this series, together, we shall continue to discover more about the work of the university's academics and about the many activities that will be taking place on campus over the next year. I'm very happy to have with me in the studio today for University Matters on Campus FM, Professor Vicky Ann Cremona. Today she's going to be talking about the Valletta 2018 project, which has many strands to it, and she's going to be talking about a publication associated with the project. However, I just want to say a few words about my guest. She's chair of the School of Performing Arts at the University of Malta, an associate professor within the Theatre Studies Department. She was appointed ambassador of Malta to France between 2005-2009 and to Tunisia between 2009-2013. She was a member of and rapporteur for the EU Evaluation Committee for the Valletta Capital of Culture 2018. She has published several articles internationally, mainly about carnival, Maltese theatre and commedia dell'arte. She has also co-edited and co-authored various books, including Theatrical Events, Borders, Dynamics, Frames, and Playing Culture, Conventions and Extensions of Performance. She has contributed towards founding Icarus Publishing Enterprise, a joint initiative between Theatre Arts Researching, the Foundations, Malta, Odin Theatre from Denmark, and the Grotowski Institute in Poland. I might say that that's a very potted biography of Professor Cremona, but all we have time for today, because I really like to go straight into the subject of the Valletta Capital of Culture 2018. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Perhaps we could start off with a little bit of background behind the Valletta 2018, what the reasons for this project are. I mean, obviously this is for us a first, but it has been with success in various other places before us.
Yes. Well, to start with, Valletta won the title of Capital of Culture for 2018 on the 12th October 2012. Now, it won this title following, obviously, a bid which had two sets of evaluations. First, the year before, where the bid was presented and the evaluation committee nominated by the EU came to Malta in order to examine the bid, to see exactly what was being proposed and to question the bidders, really, under the chairmanship of David Felice at the time. And then they came again to see whether the bid had been perfected. There was a second bid book, in fact, and what exactly Valletta 2018 was going to offer. Now, obviously, Valletta had, when it participated, it was bidding on behalf of Valletta as capital, but also there had been a document which had been signed by all the local councils of Malta and Gozo saying that they would back the project, because this project wasn't only about Valletta, but it was Valletta in relation to the rest of Malta. This does not mean that in the future other local councils might want to bid for the Capital of Culture. I mean, this is a very strong possibility, and I hope it will happen. Now, with regard to the Capital of Culture, there are two important aspects. One is participation, therefore local participation, and also extending participation to social groups which do not normally participate. So finding ways and means of creating participation. And also the idea of legacy, that a Capital of Culture is not there to create a year-long series of events, but it is there to create elements of culture which will leave a legacy after the capital of culture has ended. If we take Liverpool, for example, Liverpool is a successful example of capital of culture with all the defects it had, but it placed Liverpool on the cultural map of Europe. And out of it emerged a lot of initiatives and infrastructures which last till today, basically, and which I hope will last for a very long time. And this is the whole concept. Capital of culture is not just creating events. Creating events can be done by festival, but it is creating infrastructure and changing, in a certain sense, a mentality and creating affirmation of social groups which do not have that kind of voice within the social framework, social fabric, to participate fully and become and own the cultural initiatives and the cultural structures that they will propose themselves.
From what you're saying, it's clear that culture is being addressed in its widest possible sense.
Yes, of course. I mean, obviously, culture is not simply performance. Performance is one aspect of it, but culture is much wider. It's not performance, it's not only visual art. Culture is actually what defines a people. I mean, what defines the Maltese people? It's the Maltese culture, but that becomes very difficult to define. How do you define the Maltese culture in relation to what? In relation to the Mediterranean, in relation to Europeanness, in relation to Africa, which is so close, in relation to the north of the hemisphere, I mean, in relation to what? And basically, it's also in relation to what people have produced over the centuries. Therefore, the buildings, the paintings, the performances, the singing, the dress, the way of being, the food. What makes us Maltese? The fact that we do not, for example, eat smorgasbord, but we eat rabbit, you know, and we cook it in a particular way. That is a very important cultural element. And therefore, this is where the definition begins to be obviously local, but without being too limited to this is Maltese and Maltese alone. No, Malta is always within a context, and I think it's important to define that. That is why the European Capital of Culture defines Valletta, but within a European context.
Exactly. I was going to say this European context doesn't necessarily mean Europeanization of the culture, in the sense that it's also looking at Malta's culture in a more profound way, where we can pick up the strands, as you say, that come from different cultures that perhaps are not European, but can also be introduced within the context of Valletta 2018.
Definitely. I mean, you know, the fact of having joined the European Union already put Malta on the European map already for its language, because our language is, after all, many Arab countries say at least Arab has penetrated the European Union. And it already our language, which has so many strands in it, a grammatical base which is, after all, Semitic, but also so many influences from the Romance languages and even from English, with a spelling, I would say, that I do not totally approve of at the moment.
This we won't go down that road. Not today, anyway.
But, you know, ultimately, it shows that we have all these different strands of heritage which have come into our national identity. But what we are trying to do, what the university is going to be doing towards Valletta Capital of Culture, is trying to understand and decline this concept of culture today.
In fact, it's not just the university. This is an effort from all of Maltese society.
Yes.
And there are people within the committee, obviously, from outside the university.
Definitely.
But the university is obviously going to take quite a leading role in this, because if we're going to look into the research side of things, then here you're going to find the people who are going to be able to do that research, which is then going to back up what actually gets produced at the end of the day.
Yes, well, anyway, university is one of the partners of the Valletta Capital of Culture, and it has been asked to take two particular initiatives. First of all, the cultural mapping project, which is being led by Dr. Maria Attard, and this is plotting culture on the basis of, on a physical basis. Where are the areas of culture in Malta? Whether these are processions or theatres or clubs or whatever. And she's using the geographical information system methodology to measure that. Whilst, What a group of I would say university intellectuals are doing is they are measuring another strand. They are basically trying to analyze the contemporary cultural activities of the Maltese, but from different perspectives, whether this is sociological, educational, anthropological, economic, architectural, etc. And seeing this also within the EU context. So the book that I am editing is actually concerned with this. It's concerned with tracing basically the bigger picture of culture in Malta, and showing how what are the social, economic, and political relationships that are woven behind this word culture.
Well, it's a good thing we've got a few years to go, because that sounds like a very tall order to me.
Well, it is. But what we've done is, obviously, you can't do it all. I mean, this is not you're not going to talk about the be all and end. There's not going to be the be all and end all of culture reference in Malta. But what we're looking at is we're looking at this book as giving a picture of what there is at the moment in view of the Valletta Capital of Culture. So it will be published obviously before before 2018. But it's also a guide to policymakers. Because it's going to be discussing both the improvements that have been made in the last decades, but also the deficiencies that still exist in the overall concept of culture and in the local management of culture. And I think it's important to say that, after all, Malta had a cultural policy in 2011, which actually creates a very important milestone in the development of cultural management, and this creates also a point of reference in relation to what we are all doing. I mean, there are various authors in this book.
Perhaps we could take some examples and see what they're doing.
Yes. Well, we have different strands, okay? So we have popular values, education, public policy, built environment, economics, sociology, and culture itself. But if we take, for example, the built environment, which is the area that is being studied by Ruben Borge, by the architect Ruben Borge, well, already we can see that in this there is the idea already of legacy in the writing itself. Why? Because Ruben Borge is taking theatre as a key cultural space, and he's looking at 8 theatres, therefore, in Malta: the MITP, the Manuel, the Catholic Institute, St. James, Piazza Teatro Real, the MCC, but also Don Bosco in Gozo and Robert Samut Hall just outside. And it is trying to create a new, unique, comprehensive assessment methodology, which we hope will be the sort of footprint for other capitals of culture to use in their assessments. So it's a very unique tool, which actually is this paper will only be a pilot project for it. We are hoping to find funds to develop this on a much, much wider scale in order to map the theatres that had been found when there was an exercise a few years ago to try and discover the theatrical spaces in Malta. And what we do not know is what condition these theatrical spaces are. Do they have equipment? Is it just a stage? Is it just an empty space? Is it being used? Is it not? You know, so this methodology, which is now being applied to these theatres, we hope will be eventually extended, and we will have a real map of theatres in Malta, but not only a map, with the kind of specifications they have, if they have architectural problems, what is the height of the ceilings, how big is the room, etc., which would be a very big help for people wanting to plan activities around the island. And basically what is interesting is that we have an expert appraisal where Ruben Borge has not only looked at it from the point of view of the architects, but he's actually gone to ask theatre users and performers what they think is essential in evaluating a theatrical space. So I think this is going to be a very interesting paper with regard to theatre infrastructure, and therefore defining more clearly what are infrastructural needs for Malta. And in a sense, it's a custom-made tool that is going to be elaborated, which can then be applied to other countries.
And that kind of mapping is really essential, because I remember the little I've had to do with MITP, it was always so popular because there didn't seem to be an awful lot of choice as to where people could go, perhaps where they weren't interested in the traditional look of a theatre. They wanted a different kind of space.
Exactly.
And perhaps this exercise will show the many spaces, I'm sure there are, around Malta, which could be used, probably at not great expense, by theatre companies as well.
Yes, and which could be further exploited, you know, really, with a bit of, as you say, with a bit of alteration or whatever. Anyway, so in fact, we're talking about refurbishment scenarios in this paper. Then we have another paper by Jean-Paul Baldacchino, who starts out from the point that Malta has the lowest recorded rate of participation in dancing in Europe. Now, what we mean by dancing here is social dancing, not simply dance as in our dance department at the School of Performing Arts, but social dancing. And this is quite strange, actually, because when you think that my parents, when I was young, used to take me to weddings, and people danced at weddings, and there were orchestras and quartets and quintets, and everybody used to dance. There was a lot of social dancing. So the fact is that there isn't today. And what we're going to do is we're going to take a micro study by looking at Argentine tango, because it's one of the latest forms of social dancing which is catching on within a certain environment, and through that examining the reality, trying to understand why Maltese do not generally participate in social dancing. So basically, it's going to be done through a participant observation and a more general survey of the situation in Malta.
People do dance at weddings, though. It's becoming quite popular, but more the disco kind of dancing, I think, than tango.
That is a form of social dancing, after all, isn't it? But I think it is not structured. I mean, you dance the way you like in this kind of thing. Whilst Jean-Paul Baldacchino is looking, Dr. Baldacchino is looking more at the sort of structured form of dance, you know, where steps have to be learned, etc., etc. Anyway, we're also going to be looking at the economic point of view, so Mari Briguglio will be studying this, and it's interesting, her paper is going to be very interesting because she is looking at the fact that government investment in cultural participation is often linked to the idea of well-being. And therefore, the idea that cultural participation improves socioeconomic well-being. Now, her idea is to look at participation in cultural activities as a determinant of well-being. So looking at what is, in other words, looking at what is the effect of participation, and is there really participation? Is, in the sense, Malta, she starts out from the point that Malta has citizens who have high levels of well-being, but low levels of cultural participation. And therefore, they have cultural participation in areas such as festas, for example, or processions, or carnival, which is becoming more and more popular ever since it's re-entered Valletta, thank God, and the regatta and dimnaria and all this. So she's going to look at those levels of cultural participation, but also look at the levels of cultural participation with regard to Valletta 2018. How far are people aware of Valletta 2018, and how do they intend to participate in it, and how are they beginning to prepare for this participation? So I think this is going to be an interesting study also to see where we are at, really. And it can inform, the intent is to inform government and government interventions, whether they are national or supranational, to improve participations, to see how cultural participation can be improved in Malta.
And I'm seeing Professor Carmel Borge here as another participant.
Yes, Carmel Borge is going to be talking about museums as democratic public spaces. So the idea is, obviously, museum is a space, is a, could be seen as a site of contestation, because not everything is exposed in a museum. So there's a selective memory which is recorded, and therefore how can museum become also a learning space within the community, not just as a space to visit in Malta, unfortunately, very often by tourists and not enough, but how can
quite expensively as well.
Yes, yes,
it's quite expensive to go to a museum, so
yes, yes, at least there is this once a month open museums, which
True.
I think Maltese should exploit far more, actually.
True.
But the whole concept is, how can this become a focus of a learning community, using the artifacts as a medium, really, to learn, and examining also the way ECOC can democratize this public space.
We were talking before, when you were mentioning Mario Biguglio, about the economy, and I suppose this blends into what Colin Borge is doing, because he's going into looking at policy from various aspects.
Yes, Colin Borge is going to be talking about the relationship between central and local government, and whether cultural policy is actually being applied. I mean, we now have a cultural policy document which lists at the back all the partners in this document and in this policy, and all the relations that should be existing, for example, between the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, local councils, the cultural ministry, NGOs, etc., etc. They're all listed there. Well, this is an evaluation also, because there are many terms which are being used at random today when we speak of culture, whether we're talking of cultural participation, cultural development, cultural democracy. We're not distinguishing enough between them to start with. So basically what Colin Borge is going to try and see is, first of all, what is the relationship between cultural policy and other policy areas, for example, economic policy, environment, etc. What is can we speak of a shift between government to governance? You know, I mean, are we government, which implies a centralized unit, and governance, which implies taking policy into your own hands and making something with it, you know, making something out of it and using it as a tool to apply within your own context.
And communication here is a key word.
Yes,
really,
exactly.
That the link between government and governance and the local councils, you know, is so important that the message gets through to everybody. And sometimes we think it's made easier by technology, etc., but somehow sometimes it just doesn't happen.
Exactly, and also active participation has to happen through this, you know. And also, and in fact, active participation will be taken into account. And the third point that he's going to be examining is the three-tier dimension of cultural policy, whether we're talking of how cultural policy is absorbed into a wider EU framework. So we can see that every day through you know, funding mechanisms, etc. Then we have obviously Jozan Kutayar, who is going to be speaking. She's going to take culture out of Valletta and be speaking about Bormla. And she's going to look at the way, what discourses are there about culture at a local level. How do NGOs intervene in building this discourse? What kind of space is produced through these discourses? What kind of cultural spaces are produced? So she's looking at place construction emerging from people's investment in place, and the way also through the way they speak about it, and because speaking about it means that you have an interest in it and therefore a participation. And the last paper in this book will be that of William Zamit. William Zamit, who is going to look at culture from a very interesting viewpoint that is often ignored, which is books. We have a lot of paper heritage in this country, which is not regarded with enough attention. We have a national library in the heart of Valletta, which is the pride and joy of any European city would want to lay its hands on the wealth of documents and books that we have from the 16th, 17th, 18th centuries. And therefore, we look at it as though it was a museum. Whilst it should be, basically, it should be fundamental to, not only to our heritage, but to our everyday life. And therefore, we have to understand what are the role of libraries and archives in the demands that are today's. And this has to also run parallel into tracing back our history. I mean, libraries aren't only a thing of the past, they're very much a thing of the present. And how can we make them so? So how do we make Malta's archives and libraries appealing and meaningful to today's society?
Well, I've heard Dr. Zamit speak about the libraries once at a lecture actually at the Biblioteca, and he really made it come alive. So I'm sure if anyone can, he will be able to do that. Unfortunately, our time has come to an end. Thank you very, very much, Professor Vicky Ann Cremona, for the editor of this publication, which hopefully will come out sometime next year.
Yes.
And for telling us about it. And so we feel we're much better informed about Valletta Capital of Culture 2018. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to University Matters on Campus FM. Do join me again next week. This is Patricia Camilleri saying goodbye. Il-programm li għadkom kemm smajtu kien miġjub lilkom bix-xewqa tajba ta' Farsons Foundation.